Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name is Denise Bowles, and you're here with Black Motherhood Empowerment. I can be reached for tonight's show at area code 347-857-2381. That's 347-857-2381. Tonight's show is a special show. This is a very serious show. Tonight's a two-hour show, and this show is called Man Up, The Exploitation of the Black Woman by the Black Man. And this show has prompted so many comments and so many dialogues back and forth with people. And it came to me for a reason, and I decided to bring it forward tonight in the most helpful and respectful way that I possibly can. My name is Denise Bowles. You can reach me at BowlesUniversity@yahoo.com. You can also reach me on my webpage of www.boldlioness.com. I am the author of Raising Princes to Be Kings, A Single Black Mother's Guide to Raising Her Black Son. Now, I also have with me tonight as my co-host, I have with me Jay George, and Jay George is the founder and facilitator of Victorious Book Club, and they are a virtual book club, and they are rocking and doing some really good things and bringing about dialogue and awareness and empowerment as well. And Jay, are you there with me?
I'm here, Denise.
Okay, so we are going to do this show, as I said, in the most respectful and the most empowering way we can. The chat room is open. We've got some people who are saying that they're waiting for this man-hater show, and if that's what you're waiting for tonight, you're in for a sad disappointment. It is not about man-bashing. It is not about man-hating. This show is about empowerment and bringing about an understanding and awareness that we need to facilitate and embrace. It will help all of us as a black people, as a black unit. And I'm so very happy to be here with this. Now, in order to give you an understanding of why I came to this level, I became a first-time book author a year ago, and I've been reading books all of my life. And I have to admit, I'm a book lover, and I love books, I love movies, I'm very strong in academia, I have a master's degree, I love to learn, I love to read. And what I've been noticing is a pattern that I've been finding here of books that are deemed for African Americans that have a verbiage about them that is not very empowering, and it's not very uplifting. And when I brought this forward with Jay here with the Victorious Book Club, we both realized that, yeah, there's some things happening. And the last thing for us was a book that your book club reviewed last month.
Yes. Jenks Morton.
Right. Jenks Morton, Why He Hates You, How Maternal Anger Destroys the Black Family. And I got the book. I had Mr. Morton on my show not once but twice. I read the book not once but three times, and it was the most caustic and the most profound book of anger and hate that I've ever encountered in my life. And in reading that book on the third time, it just didn't add up. And Jay, you had your book club do their first discussion on Blog Talk Radio, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And we certainly appreciate you for hosting us for that discussion.
Thank you. Thank you. And Mr. Morton knew about the discussion on Blog Talk Radio. He knew the time, date, and where it was going to take place, and he never called in to defend or explain his work. So I do apologize for the Victorious Book Club for having this author for a full month and reading his work and buying his work, and then for him, the author, not to show or not to respond. So I do feel for that too. But Jay, can you just talk real quickly about when you read this book, what struck you the most?
As I said, what drove me to the book initially was the title. And that's why I've been posing the question today to some of my, you know, readers and, you know, some of my friends, you know, are these titles just for marketing? You know, is it just for the shock and awe? You know, it, you know, why are they selecting them? But as I said, that it drove me to the book. I looked at it, and of course, my initial thought was, you know, that the book was about a male-female relationship. And of course, you know, I had seen the market be saturated with, you know, all the reasons why, you know, black women were being hated. So of course, I was not interested in that. But when I looked down a little further and I saw the caption said that the book was actually about a son's anger toward his mother, that for me was very hard to believe. So not hard to believe to say that it doesn't happen, but the title and the subject for me, I was having a problem with. But in any event, as I said, I read the book, and after I did, I had a wide range of emotions. And at that point, I just started looking for a vehicle so that, you know, others could join me in discussing it, so that I could find out if it was just me or, you know, or if others would react the same way. And he in his own words, James Morton did, say that, you know, he expected that this book was going to, you know, bring forth a lot of emotions. And he
it did. This book really hit home for me on a very negative way. It was very harsh. I am a mother. I have a mother whom I absolutely consider God's greatest blessing to me on this earth right now. And I had a hard time with this book because as a social worker and as a community activist, I'm very concerned about my people. And if you ever listen to any of my other shows, you've heard me say 1,000 times how much I love black men and how much I love black women. And even though my life has been filled with tribulations and sometimes negative encounters with my very own people, I still love them because my parents are black male and female, and my son is a black man. So for me to exhibit any kind of hate or animosity would be to hate them and to hate all the other wonderful people in my life who are black. So I can't do that. But what happened the last straw, I guess, that broke the camel's back was a blog I found. And this young lady writes, "Please be quiet. I'm asking nicely. Stop telling me how to think, what to do, how to look, who to date, and when to exhale. I beg you." She says, "I get it. I really do. Bashing or even borderline bruising black women is what is hot in the streets. By bashing, I mean telling us why we ain't nothing, ain't gonna have nothing, ain't gonna have nobody to share nothing with. Sure, it gets you book deals and blog views and radio shows and talk shows and photo ops and movie deals and basically paid. I get it. You found a hustle that works for you only to have to kick it to a group of people that are already down to do it. Oh, you think you're being helpful by offering up your self-help and how-to and best way opinions to us. Even those of you that are not directly authoring the ya-ya or the what you really think you're helping by adding your tisk-tisk or cosine 2 cents response to the media swirl about all the problems with the sisterhood, you're not. You're adding to the already capacious wall of noise. I respectfully request that right after commenting on this post. Everyone, just shut up. I'm talking to celebs and so-called relationship gurus, writers, columnists, bloggers, regular folks talking in the coffee shop, women and men, young and old, black and white, in between. Just stop. Stop recording the statistics about successful black women never getting married or having kids. Would you rather we stay stupid and broke for the sake of a ring? Stop telling me how to look to catch a man. It's not my weight. I've been everything from an 8 to a 22 and back again and had a man at every one of those sizes. It's not my hair. I've been straight, kinky, wave, weave, ponytailed, and darn near bald. Had a man at every step of that way, too. Stop telling me to date or not to date white men. All of you, seriously. I'll date that blue dude from Avatar if I freaking want to. Stop looking for someone to blame. It's not that all black women are mean or picky or high maintenance. It's not that all black men are trifling or thuggish or underemployed. That's bullshiggity too. Stop acting like we're either sitting around waiting to exhale or are gasping our last breath surrounded by 20 cats. Can we not be vibrant, complete individuals regardless of relationship status? Stop acting like my brains are a detriment. I shall not be dumbing it down for the cause of snaring a man, nor will I emasculate him by pointing out all the stuff that I know that he doesn't. Stop judging me because I have standards, not prejudices, standards. Stop assuming that we all want Barack ambition, Denzel smile, LL Cool J body, Kanye swagger, LeBron money, and an Ibaris vibe. Stop telling us that you and you alone have an answer to fix the cure. You don't, or we won't still be talking about it. Stop helping, really. Stop offering up opinions and concerns in editorials, especially if your own relationship history is kind of suspect. And that blog, ladies and gentlemen, absolutely struck a chord in my 45-year-old behind. I am absolutely done with the rhetoric that's out here with black men putting these stop and shock titles on merchandise to sell that puts down their black women, us. It puts down their mother. It puts down their sister. It puts down their neighbor. It puts down their church members. It puts down every black woman. What did you think about this blog I just read, Jay?
That was a mouthful.
When I read this from her, I was like, oh, my God. And I read it again, and I read it again, and I was like, oh. And there, it just... Something just went off. I mean, so you're saying it's a mouthful?
Wow, that was indeed a mouthful. Needless to say, I'm not familiar with the person who wrote it.
I'm not either. Like I said, this is just a blog I found. But when I read this, I was like, whoa. And I wonder how many women out there like her get it. I get it. Do you get it, Jay?
Oh, absolutely. That's what I was about to say. I'm sure that there are many women who are out there who feel the same way. As I said, it's very difficult as a woman and as a mother, as I said, to keep reading the shock titles. I mean, I cannot tell you how many titles I've seen on Amazon, everything from... You know, the hoe, the bee, why we hate you, why we are dating other, dating outside of our race. I mean, there are just so many negatives about, excuse me, about women until it makes me sick inside. It really does.
I have a book here. I have to find that book. And this gentleman wrote about you know, why he's dating. And he wrote about why black men should not date white women. And that book didn't make anybody's New York Times bestseller. I've got another book here that's called The Real Lives of Strong Black Women. It ended up being in the bargain book bin at Walmart, and that's by Toby Tompkins. And I've spoken with this man. You know, it's... These empowerment books that put black women in a very positive light are not always readily embraced or even known.
That is exactly right. That's what I was about to say. I think there's more than one thing going on here, as I said. Part of it, of course, is the title. The other part of it is, unfortunately, I think there is a large number of readers. And I'm finding this out with the book club. There are a large number of readers who are drawn to those titles. If you take that title and turn it into something more positive, they'll walk right by it. But the moment, of course, as I said, unfortunately, for a group of people, the moment they see the B word, or they see, you know, someone called, you know, a hoe, or they see, you know, I hate her, or anything along those lines, as I said, and, you know, it draws them in.
Okay, I do agree. And just so that we understand this show, let's go back a little bit, Jay. Let's you and I go back a little bit. Because in the chat room here, they're saying that this is not the topic of discussion yet. And I just wanted to give the listeners and Jay and myself a little prelude into what's happening here, because this is where we are right now. We are at the millennium. We are at the generation. We are at the marketing level of why we put hate and we put the most negative adjectives and adverbs and emotions and whatever we can think of in the same sentence as black women. And if anybody saw the movie Precious, and I'm sure many, many of you have, the movie was riveting. There's no other way to put it. The violence, both sexual, physical, emotional, it was just wrenching. And, you know, Mr. Daniels, Lee Daniels, did a very good thing as far as being able to depict Sapphire's book. But at the same time, once again, we have another movie out that shows how the black mother can be dysfunctional and is dysfunctional. So let's go back a bit, Jay. Now, can you remember growing up any kind of positive images for black women that you noticed on TV or in the media anywhere?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there were a number of them. In fact, as a child, I think, and I would hate to give away my age, but I'll go ahead and do it. I think one of my, no, I can't say that. I was about to say that was one of my favorites, but it was not. Gosh, Denise, I can't think of anyone off the top in terms of entertainment. You mean as in a sitcom or a television show?
Let's talk a bit. Let's go a little bit further back. And we all know, because it's been preached to us, and no matter how much it is very negative and we really don't want to embrace it, black people, our history with slavery was horrible, one of the most horrible acts of humanity. And, yes, it happened to us. And, yes, we have to embrace that and move forward and heal, which we've never done yet. We haven't had a chance to do that. And we have to understand that the black woman came over shoulder to shoulder, blood, spit, vomit, right along with the black man, and worked this land and built this country to make it what it is. And we've seen the atrocities. We've seen the violence, the lynchings, the mutilations. We've seen them all. I mean, this country is so brandishing about what they did. They had postcards of lynchings, the way you would go and get a postcard of Virginia Beach or of Canada or of Mount Rushmore. They had postcards of black men mutilated and hung. And that was the norm, to mail them out to friends and family across the United States. How dysfunctional is that? So, you know, going back, our image has been difficult. It has been absolutely traumatized is what it is. And growing up and watching TV, I just did a show yesterday, as a matter of fact, a doll. It was so hard for me to even find a black female doll that I could play with. That was a hard thing to find in the 60s. But for television, it was very difficult, because the shows that we saw really put women, black women, in a very negative light. They were prostitutes, pimps. They were struggling single moms trying to make it in the projects. There weren't any uplifting, positive women out there doing TV shows and being a role. Did you see any of that?
That's why I struggled with the question when you asked my first thought, because this was one of the first black people that I remember really making an impression on me as a young girl, and that was Diane Carroll.
Right.
And, of course, I love her to this day. But, of course, she played the show Julia, I think it was called, and she was a single mother.
Right.
And at that time, of course, all of the white women on TV, from Leave It to Beaver, all of the other shows, they all had husbands.
Right.
But suddenly, you know, she came along and she was, you know, she was a single parent.
Right, right.
And that was the reason that when you asked the question a moment ago, as I said, I paused. I almost said, yeah, I remember. As I said, and while I was always impressed with her, you know, and you know, being one of the first to, you know, have her own sitcom and, you know, being very happy for those things. But when you said a positive light, as I said, then it didn't quite fit 100%.
Yeah, it was very challenging back then. And I could remember watching movies. As a matter of fact, I bought some of the old movies again. That was part of the 70s and 80s with black films. We didn't see black men and women even kissing on those films. The love scenes were not there for us. That relationship aspect was never there. And our women were seen as overly made up, very loud, aggressive, assertive, and they had certain roles that depicted them in a certain light, which was not positive. I mean, we had Cicely Tyson. We had a few other black women who were doing these very positive things, but they were few and far between. But now, what I could remember growing up and watching TV is I watched Flip Wilson, and I watched Martin Lawrence, and I watched Eddie Murphy, and I watched Jamie Foxx. I watched all these black men depict black women, and it wasn't positive. Do you see any of them being positive? I don't recall them being very positive. For Madea, these Madea movies, I don't know of a grandmother who carries a gun in her pocketbook. Or, you know, for Eddie Murphy, I never knew a grandmother who was a nymphomaniac or who smoked joints. So these negative depictions of black women, to me, made it very difficult for a black woman to move up in Hollywood, wouldn't you think?
Oh, that's true. That is true.
I found that to be very difficult because if the black man is coming up and putting on some stockings and some fake boobs and doing us, the white Jewish executives who own these movie studios, they're laughing it up. It's great. Then when the black actress does come along, they're like, oh, no. You know, we just had your black man up in here and he did you just fine. We're done. That's it. And believe it or not, when I was younger, I did TV. I did commercials. I was told you don't act black enough, whatever that meant. I still can't figure that out because I'm African-American and make sure everyone knows it, but I wasn't acting black enough. I wasn't ghetto or whatever they were trying to say because I still can't figure that out.
Because you didn't fit the
people
stereotype.
People say all races make fun of themselves, as they're saying here in the chat room. That's fine, they're making fun of themselves, but what we have to understand is this. Black people as a whole, we've never had a chance to heal and restitute from the trauma that we've endured. And the trauma we endured was the longest of any race on this earth, over 400 years, okay? And why is it that the Jews were able to restitute, heal, and move forward in a very unified front? All the other groups were able to do that, but we can't do that. And for our women out here, it is especially challenging. And this blog spoke to me after I read the other favorite book out there. Jay, you've heard of this book, Act Like a Man.
Yeah.
Steve Harvey's book. Well, it's not Steve Harvey's book because Steve Harvey didn't write the book. Someone else wrote the book. A woman wrote the book. And Steve Harvey put his face on the front being a man, and the book, New York Times bestseller. We now have a comedian who's a relationship guru who's been married 4 times. And Steve is laughing all the way to the bank. We've got women that carry this book around in their pocketbook as a relationship tool. This is the Bible for them. And why would I want to act, why would I want to think like a man? Do you want to think like a man, Jay?
Oh, absolutely not.
I don't want to think like a man. I'm a woman, and I'm very proud of that. But once again, there that is. You know, you do this, but think like a man so you can get a man. I don't want to act like a man. But this book, you know, Oprah's had him on her show, and I'm sitting there and I'm saying, but something's wrong with this. Something's not right. And once again, he's laughing all the way to the bank. The women are running out. The book can't stay on the shelves. And I don't understand it. I don't understand how that goes on. And then I have other books here, Why We Hate Black Women. And I read this book also, and I found that this book, while at one side of it is saying that it's very supportive and very pro-black woman, the other side of it is just pointing out a lot of rhetoric here with black women that I found to be very harsh. Women are called who don't have fathers, the fatherless women syndrome. Fatherless women syndrome. That was profound for me when I read that one. Black women are broken, this author puts in his book. I don't think I'm broken. I don't think I'm broken at all. I know a lot of women who don't think that they're broken. So, you know, these books, these movies, I have upstairs in my room Diary of a Tired Black Man. I invested in that too. Bought it, put it in, watched it. And I'm sitting here and I'm saying, well, wait a minute. These are some extreme scenarios. These are some very extreme scenarios. And personally, I wouldn't allow my female friends to disrespect anyone on that level. You know, there's interviews on this DVD of Africans, which they have a different communication and relationship dynamic than American blacks. But that wasn't picked up either. But it was marketed and put out there. I don't know. Jay, what are your thoughts on some of this?
Well, if I could get out one message tonight, it would be that we all need to understand that words have great power. And I spoke to this earlier in the week in my book club. For instance, I put out a question asking people to define baby boy and bad boy. And with the bad boy, it was kind of interesting because I don't think I heard the same answer twice. A lot of people, but it seemed that the underlying theme was the bad boy is the new man or the new definition for man. And then I started asking questions about these terms, baby mama, baby daddy. Well, again, I'd like to say, we need to understand and we need to respect the fact that words have great power. When you downgrade a mother's status to a term, baby mama, in my opinion, you downgrade her performance. When you downgrade a man's status from the father of your children to your baby daddy, you downgrade his performance. And so while even with the shock titles, as I said, with these terms that, you know, we found to define relationships, I think they speak volumes to where a lot of people are in their thinking, as I said. So on the flip side of that, I don't, you know, my favorite phrase is don't be surprised. It's like you cannot, for example, walk around constantly dismissing women, talking badly about them, using all of these negative terms, and then be expecting that they're going to produce good behavior. And the same thing with men. You cannot call him baby boy, allow him to lay on your sofa with no job, and then expect to marry him, and then he's suddenly going to become a full-grown man who recognizes and has matured into his manhood, and he's going to provide for you.
Yeah, my point with all of this is very, very simple, because I have to tell you, I am an author. My book is Raising Princes to Be Kings, A Single Black Mother's Guide to Raising Her Black Son. And I raised my son after I divorced my husband. And I could have wrote a book that would have been completely male bashing, completely describe how I, you know, was abandoned, health insurance taken away, pregnant, have to go to work and make it through this delivery by myself. I could have made this book completely male bashing, but I did not. Instead, I turned my own life's experiences into something of empowerment. And if you read my book, listeners, if you do have an opportunity, and I strongly suggest you do, I tell women what they have to do in order to step up to the plate to to be the best mother they can be to that son, so that son can be the best man that he can be.
Absolutely.
My words are empowering. I don't curse the man out. I don't say he's a F-up. I don't say anything negative about him, because that's not what this is about. This is about empowerment. This is about helping one another. We can't help our people at 100% if 50% of the group is putting down the other 50% of the group. And I say that to women as well. It's like, well, you know, I'm very hard on women. If you were in this relationship and it didn't work out, you have your option to leave and start anew. But I always tell women, you probably saw a sign or two, but you chose to ignore it because you thought you could fix him. But that's another conversation. Jay, I am concerned, and I'm sure you are too, with the amount of products that are out here today showing women beating their kids, drug use, yelling and screaming, attitudinal, combative, abrasive. Do you not think that that is going to become a belief, a mantra against the black woman? And how is she supposed to survive and thrive under this kind of environment? I'm finding that a challenge to grasp.
Well, it already has, as I said, and it's really unfortunate because, I mean, we're now seeing the results of what we're now seeing what we've raised, okay, in this current generation. As I said, it's really unfortunate, coupled with the fact that, I mean, women throughout history have been considered less than. So, as you said earlier, we've already started from behind. So if we're not now doing things, both men and women, because women can also be their own worst enemy.
True.
You know, too many times we don't support each other. We don't encourage each other. I mean, women can hate each other on sight. You know, and the same, as I said, with men. I've never, ever seen humiliation, not with a child or an adult, seen humiliation cause anyone to behave better. It just does not happen.
Right.
One of the reasons why the civil rights movement was so successful, even though not everyone changed their behavior immediately, not everyone changed their thoughts immediately, but the folks who were leading that movement, they were leading those people from a place of love. You can only get through to a person, you can only teach a person if you're coming from a place of love. You
right.
cannot say to, as I said, a child or a woman, I hate you. Now let me explain to you, you know, why you should love me.
Right.
Or let me teach you a lesson about yourself.
Right. Exactly.
And
now,
that seems to be the approach.
Now, as a single mom, I've been a single mom now. My son is 19 going on 20. I've been a single mom for a long time, and I've been a single mom by choice. Choice meaning that I chose to raise him as a single parent and not establish another relationship until he was grown, because I was fearful of letting certain entities in the house or just being very mindful of whom was going to be in our sanctuary. But I will say what I've been hearing out here all this time as a black single mom, you're going to raise a feminine man. You can't raise a man. You can't raise that boy alone. Well, first of all, why is it that the black single mom is alone? She's not alone. As I've said on my other shows, she's not alone. She has a pediatrician. She has a crossing guard at the school. She has the teacher, the principal. She has a lot of resources. She's not completely alone, but we put her in that category because it sounds really good, okay? And why is it that a black man is going to say, oh, there has to be a man in that house. You can't raise that boy by yourself. Well, you know, if I choose to, you know, keep a house safe, if I choose not to have a relationship right now while I'm raising my son, why can't I raise him? And why can't you empower me instead of telling me that my son is going to grow up and be feminine and that I won't be successful in raising him? Isn't that putting down your own people?
It is indeed. As I said, I think part of the purpose And I certainly understand the message. I think part of the purpose in men saying that so many times is, and I truly do believe that a child should have both parents, a mother and a father. And of course, I say that to women all the time. You know, if there's any way for you to work it out, you know, you should. But just as you just said, there are instances where it's just not possible. Sometimes men walk off, and they're not there. And women
right.
are still responsible for raising their sons.
Yeah.
And just
I didn't wake up that morning and say, you know, I want to be a single mom and have my marriage fail and be challenged for the next 20 years. I don't know too many women who wake up and say that.
That's what I was about to say. A lot of women find themselves in that predicament, not because they want to be there. As I said, their ideal situation, I'm sure, would be for husband or father to hang around. But unfortunately,
exactly.
as I said, for somewhere in the neighborhood of almost 70% of homes now, as I said, the men are not there. Just like when we had our discussion on absent fathers, and there were women who were taking responsibility for men not being there.
Right.
A woman is not responsible for a father not being there. That's his responsibility. He
right.
has legal actions that he can take to see his children. He has parental rights.
Right. And while I want to make sure that the chat room understands, I didn't ask God to give me a son. He gave him to me. And the same thing with the single dad out there who's raising his daughter. And gender, while it has some roles in it, it's better to raise a solid human being first and let the other gender-ascribed traits and characteristics, they will come. They will come. I've never professed ever to be a father to my son. Father's Day comes. Don't send me a Father's Day card because I'm a single mom. I will cuss you out. I came from a two-parent household. My father was my son, and I was his shadow, and I thoroughly support the entity of marriage in two-parent homes. But sometimes that does not work out. And when it does not work out, it is the black woman who's blamed as the bane and as the cause for the dysfunction. And now, because of her, her children are going to be feminine. Now, if a black father, and I know quite a few black single dads out there, when they're raising their daughters, it's cute. It's nice. Isn't that wonderful? What a great thing he's doing. But when a black woman is trying to raise her children and they happen to be sons, oh, well, look, she's going to make him into a gay man. She's going to make him feminine. And I just don't think that that's fair because now you've given this child a bad shot before he even had a chance. You've written him off before he even had a chance to show you what he's capable of and what, you know, God has blessed him to be.
You're exactly right. It's totally not fair. As I said, because, you know, instead of coming from a place of love, as I said, these same men who are making those statements, you know, if you know of children who are out there with single parents, you know, then they should be mentoring them. You know, they should, you know, they should get involved in their lives. But, and the other thing is, it's also pressuring women to feel like I have to have some kind of man.
Yes.
And allowing them to make very poor relationship decisions and putting a lot of our children in unsafe and unhealthy environments. And that's what I have a really, really big issue with.
Well, since you brought that up, Jay, as a social worker, I have to tell you, I've worked in the emergency rooms. I've worked in trauma centers here in New York City. And there's nothing worse than to have that ambulance bring that child in that has been absolutely pummeled to death. Have you ever seen a child who's been beaten to death? Have you ever seen a nine-month-old who has their vital internal organs perforated all the way to their diaphragm by the boyfriend's penis? Have you ever seen that?
No.
I've seen those things. And I have to tell you, it's an absolute nightmare and completely unforgettable in my life. And there's that mom saying, but I left the baby with my boyfriend and I went to work. Turns out, background check is done on the boyfriend. He's a listed pedophile.
Mm-hmm.
He's got, you know, mental health issues. He's a known batterer. He's a known physical abuser.
That is exactly right.
And every time a black man stands up and says, there's got to be a black man in that home, he's killing another black man's child, because in 2009, I don't know if you noticed it, but I noticed hundreds of kids in the paper being killed by a man who's not their father.
Oh, it's entirely too many. It's entirely too many. As
so I'm not saying, and I'm not saying that the girlfriend is totally absolved from this, because she can do a background check, she can wait to date, but when you are constantly pressured by society, when you walk out of your house as a black woman and you're pushing a baby stroller and your left hand doesn't have a ring on it, the looks you get, the under-the-breath comments, it is absolutely astounding. And I can speak on that because it has happened. So when black men are out here preaching and pontificating about what it is we need to do, I'm suggesting out of respect and care that I'm not saying their advice is wrong, because I came from a two-parent home. What I am saying is they have to change what they're saying.
That's exactly right. As I said, and the way that they're saying it, as I said, and then it would be a lot more effective, because we can't at this point just totally ignore the fact that we have a lot of children in single-parent homes.
We
can't ignore that. And as I said, being a single parent is a tough, being a parent is a tough job.
Yes, it is.
A single parent, it is extremely tough. As I said, and for us as a society, or as women, or as men, as I said, to put those women down and not offer all of the respect and support that we can possibly give them, as I said, we do a total disservice, not just to the mothers, but also to the children.
Yes, and then we wonder, why can't that child do well? Well, you already said that he's not going to do well because I'm raising him. You already said he's going to grow up and be feminine because I'm raising him. You already said that I can't do it. So I have so many parents. As a parent advocate, when I go to a parent to help them in a scenario, the first thing out of that black mother's mouth is, I can't do this. I can't do this. And I have to tell her, that's what you've been told. But the reality is you can do it. You can do it. So I just want to take a caller or two here, Jay. We have a caller here. Let me just click onto this. Caller in 571 area code. You're on the air. Hello? Hello?
I can't hear.
Hello, can you hear me? Okay, I guess they're just listening. Okay, let's go back to another caller here. We have a caller here in the 832 area code. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Denise. It's Nakia.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. This is good stuff tonight. Woo.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm trying to do this because I came from a two-parent home of love and respect. I saw what it is to respect and honor and support a black man. I saw and what it takes to support and honor and respect a black woman. And what I'm seeing out here now, everything that I'm walking by in the bookstore and news and hate and destroy, and I'm saying, well, how can we as black people get better if we're seeing this constant negative stuff coming at us all the time?
It's pointing the finger. We have got to stop saying, well, I did it, so we are like kids. Well, she did it. Well, she didn't do this. Well, he didn't do that. When we can stop doing that and say, let me see what part I played in the breakdown of my relationship, in the bad parenting that I've done. I can't blame it on my mama anymore. I can't blame it on my daddy. I can't blame it on them. We have too many resources like this radio show that we can listen to, learn from, and become empowered by. The excuses have to stop.
Yeah,
I didn't have the best parents, but I am a damn good mother.
Yes, yes.
And I know it.
I know there are a lot of women out here who are, and out of love and respect,
exactly,
very best to support them. And I also encourage them to get back into living, because just
yes,
because they made a mistake doesn't mean life is over. But I also
and
talk
you have
to black
to keep
men.
Keep making them. You can stop making them. Same mistakes. You can stop.
Yeah, but for black men, I'm strongly suggesting, because I'm out here living what I'm saying, listeners. I'm living what I'm saying. And I'm out here saying, there has to be a better way to word this so that we can take the hate, we can take the anger, we can take the animosity, we can take all the dysfunction out and turn this into a movement of empowerment for all of us.
Yes.
That's
I
all
agree.
That is. That's
but
all
how
that
do we do that? How, if we have our hands over our ears and we're speaking and not listening?
You know, I try to live by example. And when Tiger Woods stuff came out, so many people had a comment. And I just shut it down. I said, nope, that's between him and his wife. He's one of the top black athletes in the world we've ever had. That's all I have to say. I'm done. I'm not getting
exactly.
involved with that. And I didn't get involved with it because we cannot keep putting our black men down. We can't keep tearing them down and throwing in our two cents. That's none of my business, really. None of my business.
I agree. I agree. I felt like it was none of my business either. That's between him, his wife, and maybe they wanted to settle that. But now, because we're all commenting on it and have something to say, it's harder for them to work through that.
Yes, yes. But now tell me this.
I mean, we don't know what they want. That was, and they have kids, so we even made it harder for their kids to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now,
be around kids.
Now, when with the Steve McNair, is that the football player who got shot by his lover girlfriend? Yeah, last year?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that was shocking. Here's a good-looking black man, family, all boys, the ideal life, goes to the family restaurant, spots a little chick on the side, sets her up in an apartment, and gives her a truck. When he gets a couple of bullets in the head, the black men that I saw and commented, all they can say was, oh, he was a very good brother. He was very kind and generous and gave to the community. That's all they said.
Yeah, it wasn't months and months of ranting, no.
Right. And no one said, gee, you know, that man destroyed his family. You know, his boys now have to live with the legacy he left behind.
Because we displace our blame, we displace it. But, I mean, a lot of black women said things, well, that's what Tiger gets. And but
right, yeah, that's not what
that bothered me. That's so, well, he said he wasn't all black. Well, so what? So he can't claim his mama. That is so wrong to me, to make somebody decide which half of your parents you get to claim.
Oh, no. And even
that's not his fault that he's mixed. None of these things. I mean, so what?
Well, no, it's just, but, you know, for Steve McNair, you know, somebody said, you know, it's too bad he was dumb enough to get caught. That's the ideal here. You know, he was too dumb to get caught. No. Well,
you know, when I stopped watching all this TV, that's when I really started thinking for myself.
Yeah.
And analyzing situations for myself. Because as long as you're watching TV all day, TV is thinking for you. The news is telling you how to think, what to think. If you read it in your own voice, you know when to feel compassion. So it's better to read it than to sit there glued to the TV, watching all these reality shows, watching all this junk on TV, and not feeding your mind with purpose and ways to empower yourself. And that goes for our black men. They keep seeing negative images on TV. They think that is who they're supposed to be.
Well,
women too.
Well, that's the second part of the show, Nakia.
I'm sorry.
Nakia, you just hit the nail on the head with that for me, girl. I appreciate you calling in.
Okay.
Jay, are you still there with me?
Yes, I'm still here.
Jay, TV. I had, when I first posted this show about a week ago saying I was going to do this, a black woman said to me, I don't see where black women are being exploited by black men. My first thought was, I don't think she's watched a BET video and in the past decade or two. I do see it on TV. I do see the media telling black women what to look for with black men, telling what we should date, what we should look for. And I see it where black men are also basically looking for the girl who can drop it like it's hot and who looks like a BET video vixen.
Absolutely. Music, television, all of those things have great influence. As I said, just like with the words. I mean, if you have something, if you sit and you watch or you listen to something, just like the caller just said, you know, constantly, it's definitely going to shape your opinion. It's going to shape your thoughts. It's going to change your behavior.
Yes.
As I said, whether it be good or bad.
Yes.
For instance, a perfect example, I brought it the other day, when James Brown made the song, I'm Black and I'm Proud, it made black people feel proud to be black.
Absolutely.
We felt it. We understood it. We embraced it.
Yes.
Well, it's the same thing when Lil Wayne or whomever it is that's out there in the rap world call these young ladies a bitch, a hoe. They embrace it. And now they call each other.
Yeah, yeah. I still have a problem with men calling each other niggas. That's my other problem too, but that's another show. But, yeah, so the media really didn't help at all as far as I'm concerned, because if you think back, listeners, if you really think back on the Oscar winners, over 70 years of Oscars, we've only had 5 women win. Those 5 women, besides Hattie McDaniel, what were the other 4 women's roles? They were not empowering, positive roles. Whoopi Goldberg played a spiritual shyster. Halle Berry got an award for doing fellatio on a white man. You know? What's her name? Can't remember her name now. From Dreamgirls. She won, being a very sassy, you know, attitudinal, in-your-face singer, even though she came back in that role at the very end after losing everything and being empowering somewhat. But that was still very, you know, And then we have now Monique playing a mom who absolutely epitomizes child abuse. So where are the Norma Rae's? Where are the Meryl Streep's? Where are these empowering roles that show black women in success and contributing and sending a positive message? Where is it?
The women, unfortunately, you know, the women who are playing those roles, they're not getting the Oscar.
Where is it? But what we do see people clamoring to see is Madea on the porch with her home arrest ankle bracelet on her ankle and her gun in her pocketbook. Or we do see Eddie Murphy play a nymphomaniac grandmother or an obese black woman who's stalking a black man.
Yes. Or we do see our young girls in a video. She's almost completely naked while the rapper is standing there in long pants, long sleeve shirt, and probably a leather jacket and a cap on his head.
He's fully dressed, and she's completely down to a thong. Right. So, you know, is exploitation happening here? Yeah, it is, because there has to be another way that all of these books that I've bought from black men to support them, the movies, time and time again, I'm out here supporting them. Oh, okay, I'll buy it. Let me read it. And I'm sitting here and I'm saying, well, this is a man who's pretty intelligent. There has to have been another way or another title that he could have used to get our attention and still empower our people at the same time. The stop and shock titles are hurting us, because all I hear is like, oh, yeah, 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 you know, yeah, those black women, yeah, they sure know how to beat their kids. I heard this in a community center after Precious. 2 white women were talking. Yeah, they sure know how to beat their kids. That's incredible.
That's very true. And the same thing with the books. As I said, I mean, it's already difficult enough for black authors to get their books in the bookstores, okay? And when we do finally get a few books in there, all of those titles are about, I hate black women, I hate my mother, I hate my son, I hate my daughter, you know, or it's, again, it's someone on a stripper pole, you know, hanging on the front of the cover, or it's a baby mama, or it's a crackhead. I mean, the images are all so negative. And as I said, it's really unfortunate. And I do understand the dynamic between, you know, history and where we are today.
Yes.
But it is so unfortunate, as I said, that, you know, we are still in such a bad place.
Because yes, we are. We are in a bad place.
We're in a very bad place. As I said, even after all of these years, we have still not learned how to love ourselves enough and love each other enough.
That's right.
It is so sad. And the saddest part about it is, as I said, hurt people hurt other people. And these hurt parents are hurting children, both
yes.
the men and the women.
Yes.
You are hurting our children when you do this. When I was a kid, I never once heard one of my friends, not publicly or privately, say to me she wanted to be a video vixen or she wanted to be a stripper. But it is not uncommon now.
No.
It is not uncommon now. We now have young ladies who aspire to be a video vixen and a stripper.
That's it. That's it. Now, as a medical social worker, I've worked with a lot of black women who receive social services, and they've been pregnant, and they've been pregnant several times, and they've been pregnant some more. And I have some clients who are age 30, and they are on their sixth pregnancy because they have a baby for every boyfriend that they beget. And the empowerment that is lacking on that end is this. We've seen Octomom. We've seen this white woman go and get artificially inseminated without a husband and get 8 children. Actually, she has 11 children, I think now, 11 or 12. And she was not questioned until finally someone at the hospital looked through the paperwork and said, hey, Joe, come over and take a look at this. Isn't this the wildest thing you've ever seen? And sure enough, it came through that way that all of a sudden, this woman doesn't have a husband. This woman is on some type of services to receive money. She's on workman's comp. She's not even holding down a job. But this white woman got a television show. She got all kinds of endorsements and support for having these children out of wedlock without a husband. Now, recently on Facebook I posted, another white woman goes up, and she says, I had a one-night stand. He looked awfully cute. And we had a one-night stand, and I got pregnant. And now this white woman has a sitcom on TV. She's laughing all the way to the bank. What's wrong with this? The black woman, if she has a child, she's absolutely looked at as the scum of the earth. Am I not right?
Oh, you're exactly right. As I said, we're hated on all sides.
So I don't understand how the black man hasn't stood up and said, hey, wait a minute. She's over there. She gets a sitcom. She gets this. And then my sister is over here who had a baby. And, you know, she's treated like she's the scum of the earth. Why is that?
Well,
why is that? Why is it society glorifies the white pregnant woman, but when the black woman gets pregnant, oh, well, look, you see, that's all they can do. You know, it's back to that Moynihan paper, you know, when they came over on that ship, all they are is just a bunch of high libido animals, and they go on and on and on.
Yeah. As I said, unfortunately, I mean, our biggest problem now is not how we are received by the rest of the world or by other races. Our biggest problem now is how we treat each other.
Exactly.
As I said, that's our biggest problem. It's not because, in fact, at one point, I'm not sure what the statistics are now, but at one point, I mean, there were more white women on welfare than black women.
Oh, that's...
Okay, black women have always worked extremely hard.
Right.
Okay, and again, if we are not addressing the issue of why are black women having to go on welfare, because she can't go on welfare if father stays there and be father.
That's it.
Because
that's the money hand paper for you.
So, okay.
So black men need to understand that society has kind of pre-prepped us to not have you around. Because if we have you in that Section 8 house, we're going to lose it. And then we'll be homeless, or they'll take away your benefit. I know right now, as a medical social worker, young girls today who are pregnant, if they can't name the baby's father within a certain amount of time after delivery, they lose their benefits. That's it. They lose their benefits. You know, so that's where black men need to understand. Black men, I'm asking you, talk to your fellow black men. I've seen correction officers get up and they're at a community forum and they're saying, oh, I'm a preacher. And everybody shuts up, you know, because, oh, he's a preacher. He must know what he's talking about. Wrong. And he says, I'm in there with the inmates and I'm telling them, you know, you gotta be in that house. Yeah, you got to be in that house, but you got to be in that house with a condom on, because it doesn't make any sense for inmates to go and brag about how they sired 8 children or more, and they can't support a single one of them.
That's very true. And it,
that's
it
what I'm hearing out here.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing. The brag rate for an inmate on how many children they have, that's the new trend. Not that they can take care of them. Not that they're home with them at night, teaching them these male values, but they're incarcerated. Again.
Yes. And I truly would like to see, as I said, and I have all the respect in the world for, you know, my black men as well as, you know, black women, and which is part of the reason, you know, that I'm even on here tonight, because I really would like to see some things change. But I would love, you know, our men step up, you know, to the plate, you know, and speak to black men and address this issue, not just, you know, throw, you know, a couple pebbles at it, but, I mean, seriously address this issue of so many of our children, and not just our sons, but our daughters as well. Daughters.
Absolutely.
And fathers too.
Absolutely.
I would love for someone to just call them out. Just call
right.
them out and please say, stop this.
That's right.
Stop this. As I said, because there is enough, and there's, you know, there's enough bad behavior to go around. You know, even with women, as I said, while I totally agree, as I said, that we're being exploited, that in many cases we're being treated unfairly, because even with the men, if you're intelligent enough to be able to write a book, why not, as I said, write it from a place of love?
And empowerment.
Why not? Exactly. Why not make it so that at the moment we see that title, we know that you are in our corner.
Absolutely.
And that you have something good to teach me. I'm more than willing to learn. And
absolutely.
I'm sure that many women feel that way. In fact, most of their buyers are women.
That's right.
Because men are not, for the most part, are not buying a lot of relationship books. So women are the ones who are buying those books.
Right.
As I said, so we would be even more turned on if you got us right at the title by saying how much you love us.
That's right. Now in the chat room here, they're going. They're having a ball in here. And Nakia is saying in here, you know, the old saying is that, you know, you love your sons but you raise your daughters. Very true. And that saying, that quote, Nakia, is actually in my book as well. We love our sons, but we raise our daughters. And why is it then? Why is it then that in the chat room here I'm seeing, you know, speak to your sisters as well. Stop asking men just to speak to men, but speak to your sisters as well. Just so that the clarification happens, I do speak to my sisters as much as I possibly can. And my book is a book on empowerment. My book tells black mothers to stop putting their sons as the boyfriend, as the roommate, as the sister girl. Stop putting the telephone and the cable bill in your black son's name so his credit is messed up before he can even grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Stop dressing like you're 14 when you are somebody's mother.
Yes.
Stop going to the school and beating your son down in front of everyone and taking away his manhood by beating him down. Oh, my book touches it all. Because I've seen it all.
And
so
that's
for those people out there who don't have my book yet, please don't think that I am in any way giving the woman a pass, because I'm not. Because I fully, truly believe in my people, and I fully, truly believe that if we want decent black men, we have to raise them, and we have to step up to the plate to raise them. The attitude, the nail tips, the weed, a Friday night shaking your booty, you're somebody's parent. So I'm very, very stringent on that, and I want that to be perfectly clear, that it does take a certain level of accountability and responsibility to raise children out here, and I'm not giving women a free pass. I'm not.
Absolutely not. As I said, you know, women have certainly, you know, made their fair share of mistakes, as I said, and that's why it's unfortunate that a lot of this is allowed to continue because there are women who are making poor choices in relationships. They're having sex with men before they know their last name.
Men, girl.
And they are embracing this unacceptable behavior. They
right.
are allowing it to continue to happen. And
right.
that is extremely unfortunate. As I said, and then not only are they being left, you know, feeling bruised and misused, but then they're transferring that onto their children.
Right.
Many, I could not believe, when I was in a book club discussion last week, how many women are not able to articulate what kind of man they're looking for.
Right.
They have no idea. No idea. Coupled with the fact that, as I said, many of them have been raised with a lot of things about men, to either being raised in homes with no man, so of course they have no idea of who a man is or how he should act or what his role should be or none of those things, okay? Many of them have no relationship skills. And unfortunately, as I said, a lot of them are not trying to get any.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They're not trying to get any, and they're raising children.
Yes. And I'm very, very, very much in for women protecting themselves sexually. Right now in my pocketbook, I've got two condoms. Just in case whatever situation should pop up, I'm not intentionally looking for sex because I truly believe in fostering a healthy relationship. But I think every woman should protect herself, and that in itself also is empowering rather than to wait for the man to protect you. But I want to get back to the exploitation thing. Jay, you said earlier that you did some research. Did you find any books written by white men saying how they hate white women?
No. No, I have not found one yet. In fact, if anyone is listening, if they know of one, please, please, please contact me. I was not able to find one book about white men hating white women. I could not find a book about Asian men hating Asian women. I could not find one. And it broke my heart. It broke my heart. I thought, why on earth are we the only women who have men who hate us?
Yes.
And insist on continuing to publicly hate us.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I've said it before on other shows, and the men got quiet, but the black man throws the black woman under the bus with her weave and her tips, her pocketbook and her shoes on, and lets everybody see it. Now, for example, we've talked about Octomom. We've Sarah Palin can see Russia from her backyard.
Oh,
okay?
Please.
Woman with a bachelor's degree from five different schools in journalism went up against a black man who has a doctor's degree in law and thought she could run the country. There's only a handful, about two or three whites that ever dared to stand up and say, Sarah Palin is a complete idiot.
Yeah.
This woman has been able to go as far as she can go because she's never been thrown under the bus by her white man.
But, Denise, that is another thing that is very different, too. Even Sarah Palin's critics are only attacking Sarah Palin. They don't
right. They're not attacking
throwing everybody yeah. else. Exactly.
Right.
They don't throw in all white women.
As
That's
I said, right.
When I see a title that says, Why I Hate Black Women, that says to me, you're talking about me. You're
yes.
talking about my mother. You're talking about my sister. You're talking about my daughter, as well as talking about your mother. You didn't say you hate some black women who maybe do X, Y, Z. You're saying you hate them all.
Yes.
And I have not seen that. As I said, if someone knows of it and it's out there, you know, please send it to me. But I've not seen that from any other race of people.
No, I haven't seen other races talk or depict their opposite gender apart with the word. Hate is a very strong word, so that anybody understands that. That is a very hard emotion.
It is.
So I want to bring up the other strong emotional word. Oops, I just said it. Strong. Black women who testify and absolutely grab onto the adjective of being strong. I'm told that puts off black men because they feel then that you don't need me. I want to clarify that tonight, Jay. How do you feel about the word strong in black women?
I don't see the problem with the word. Okay, I don't see the problem with the word. I can tell you this, having been married for more than a quarter of a century, that there are many things that women say that men translate very differently.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when a woman says to a man, I'm strong, I'm independent, many men take that to say, you don't need me.
And that's what's written in the book.
You're too bullheaded.
Yeah, the author actually wrote that, Jay. That's interesting that you should say that. He says that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's what I hear, too, because I'm asking the question all the time. I'm asking black men all the time, what is the turnoff with the word strong in black women? And they're like, oh, well, you know, that means, you know, she can get out there and do stuff better than I can. You know, she doesn't need me. And I didn't understand, where did that get turned around?
Well, I was about to say, I think that's part of it, as I said, in that men and women are different. And I think that's one of the good and the bad things. If you understand the difference, of course, I mean, it makes it 1,000 times easier, you know, for them to live with us and, you know, and us to live with them. As I said, there is a different way of thinking about it, but black men know that black women are strong. They know that, the same as we know that black men by nature are strong. Again, I think what has happened is one of the reasons that something as simple as you saying, I'm strong and independent, you know, with now, you know, say to a brother, well, I'm not interested in you because, you know, you may be too much work or because you may be expecting too much. I think it's because we have too many grown boys and not enough grown men.
Because
I said to a young lady the other day, it is not possible for me to convince my husband, who is mature in his manhood, to put on a skirt. Simply because I say I'm strong.
Mm-hmm.
He's not offended.
Right.
He's not offended.
Right.
But we have too many young men now who are not fully developed in their manhood.
Right.
So when they hear those kinds of things, they're intimidated.
Okay.
It's a problem. It's an issue. I may have to work. I may have to raise my standards. I may have to perform better. She may be expecting too much.
Right. Well, for me, you know, the word strong is an accolade. It's one that has been in my lineage since forever because black woman came over here and she had to be strong to endure what she's endured and to get us to where we are right now. She had to be strong. But for me, strong is not bullying. Strong is not intimidating a man. Strong is a personal mark. It's a personal milestone for me. It's very, very, very personal. Because during my day when I walk outside, I don't tell people, hey, you know, I'm strong. I raised a kid all by myself. I did this. I did that. No, that's not what strong to me is. Strong is a very personal accolade that says, you know, yeah, Denise, you know, when it came time to do this, you were really able to pull it through, and that's okay. And I think that's where the disconnect is coming from. I don't think a lot of women want this word strong to be a deterrent. I think what has happened is since we didn't get our kudos, since we didn't get our props, we had to make one, and we made it strong. I mean, let's face it. The white woman has always been the Lily White on the pedestal. Anne Murray back in the 70s saying, I am woman. And people were like cheering. This is fantastic. But whatever happened to the black woman? No, there wasn't anything. There was silence. So I think for black women to say that they're strong, it's not a put off. It's not a put down. It's a personal milestone. It's a personal level of accomplishment.
But it's something that many are still not comfortable with hearing. As I said, and that's because the expectations are so low. Because there's so much focus placed on, again, what I don't like about you opposed to what I do like about you.
Right. And I, you know, funny thing, I've met Dr. Cornel West several times, and when he autographs something for you, man or woman, he says, stay strong, from Dr. West. I asked him, I said, why do you say that?
Him.
And he said, well, you know, for all black people, we have to stay strong. That's the only way we're going to survive.
Absolutely. As I said, and we always have been.
That's the only way that we are going to be able to go forward if we stay strong. So I don't know. In the chat room, you know, they're going off in the chat room. And, you know, somebody here is saying strong equals manly. I don't think so. I think I have to have a level of strength to pull the garbage outside the house. I think I have to have a level of strength to get through a hardship or a challenge in my life. So what's wrong with the word strong? Why is that such a put off?
Maybe we should ask one of the men.
Yes, I think we have a couple of callers here. Let's see what we've got. I hope my switchboard is working because, to be honest with you, my switchboard has been acting a little funky here. Hello, caller in 111. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello.
Who's this?
Hey, how you doing? This is Clinton Classy.
Okay.
Who is it?
I don't know. Can you say your name again? It came in as a gap. I'm sorry.
It's quite all right. Clean and Classy in the chat room.
Okay. Queen and Classy, Jay. Did you hear him? Can you hear him?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello. How you doing? Hey, you know, I'll say this very, very politely. I think that your topic and argument on your side is valid, and the beautiful statements that your book does translate is valid. But I would suggest this. What I think that you may not be taking into consideration during tonight's topic is where many of these things originated from ever so recently. What I think that you may not consider is for many years before men were writing these type of books, there was a love affair with black women and pretty brown eyes and ebony eyes and all type of songs and literature and things of that nature. As I said in the chat room earlier, what you may not be considering is that long ago, around 84, 82, when Oprah had her Black Man Working series and Jenny Jones had her Poison Toxic of a show, you had this very demeaning thing with black men. Black men are worthless. Black men are dogs. And as we all know, dogs is the reverse word of B-I-T. This was long before black men were even making such statements. Before you even saw these videos with booty up in there and things of that nature. We had stuff like Salt and Pepper with men up in there. We wasn't tripping. But I think what's happened is that now that men have gotten to a point where they still love you, but it's a disgust with some of the behavior now that you're more so empowered economically, I think ladies are not speaking to ladies saying, don't treat that guy like that. Ladies are not speaking to ladies saying she shouldn't get a pass in the courtroom because she did X, Y, Z. Ladies are not standing up and saying that's wrong. And because that's not happening in droves, now you're starting to get this energy. We can easily dismiss it, of course, and say, nah, that's not that. I don't think that's it. But then that further demeans the experience that that particular black male has. So there has to be a level of appreciation for the black male's experience. And when you see or hear a lady out of order, to correct that, because universally that does contribute to a lot of the things you guys have discussed with. Lastly, I'll say this. A lot of the verbiage that you said, what men think and you don't think that's the reason, that's another sad paradigm that we have, because a lot of times men don't speak when they're around women. A lot of times it's only the buffoon that speaks, and more the intelligent men don't say anything.
Ah.
Because it's hard to speak to an individual, male or female, who's arrogant in themselves. And you can't have a sharing of dialogue where I respect you for your views, you respect me for mine, and maybe eight months later, God creates a situation where I can see your point. If you're dealing with ladies, you tend to, and especially me being in a healthcare environment as well,
you
tend not to say anything. Oh, yeah, I work in medical billing.
Okay.
You tend not to say anything. You tend to just let it blow up, let it do what it do, don't offer no suggestions, don't say anything, and let the buffoon men make all the statements. Because
wow, that's
it's
powerful.
Hard to talk.
And he's exactly right.
That's powerful.
It's hard to talk to ladies.
So the buffoon man is coming forward and giving whatever it is off the top of his head, but meanwhile, that serious, silent brother, we're missing some really good nuggets of wisdom from him. How do we get to him? I don't want to talk to the buffoon. I want to talk to my real black man.
Well, you have to be inclusive, and part of that is, and this is the hardest part, we got to stop. Sisters, well, let me back up and say this. Brothers have this thing. When a brother is out of pocket, you guys don't see it. It happens in the barbershop, on the sports field or whatever. When a guy is out of pocket, somebody's going to pull him to the side and talk to him. When most ladies are out of pocket, and I have five older sisters, they high-five each other.
Oh,
you gotta not me.
I don't know.
I said most. I didn't necessarily say within your circle. I just said most. And there needs to be a trend, is my point.
You're right.
When you see those type of behaviors, you say, no, sister girl, you let that intelligent brother speak.
Absolutely.
Instead of like I'm quite sure you're aware in nursing, male or female, when somebody speaks, there's always somebody, male or female, to bust out and be like, girl, ain't nobody, or man, ain't nobody. No, stop that behavior.
Right.
That behavior and let that come out, and then maybe we cannot have these verbiages that are distasteful to you.
Right.
And that way we won't have this discussed. I've talked too long, but I do want to reiterate one thing that I did say.
I have to ask
back
you.
Back in 1984.
I have to ask you a question.
Oprah.
Please don't go away. Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Now.
No, go ahead. I hear you.
Okay. What do you think about these books with these topics of why we hate black women, or movies like Precious, or Why He Hates You, How Maternal Anger Destroys, quote-unquote, the black family? What do you think about titles like that? Do you think that could have been worded a different way? Do you think that there's like you said, the buffoon brother or the intelligent brother? What's going on with this?
All right, here's the thing, and I've read those books. I refuse to see Precious, but I read those books.
Okay.
Shock value is a marketing tool and can be used. Even with the disclaimer that a Steve Harvey will give, you know, I'm not a counselor, you know, this is just what I believe.
Yeah.
Here's what my suggestion is. Guys, for so long, have gone through areas where they didn't speak up at all.
Okay.
And there have been many of books before those books that you named that were very polite and all-inclusive written by brothers. I remember one brother from Chicago, he was a radio DJ. He had a book. It's not well-received.
Okay.
And when you love you, sisters, love you, because most of these guys, there's an old and I know, understand this isn't your world, but there's an old pimp reference that says players are not made for money. Players are made by other women out of disgust.
Ooh.
So what that's basically saying is, and you can talk to a lot of guys, and they'll tell you, a lot of guys became quote-unquote pimps, players, dogs, or whatever you want to call them, out of being hurt by a woman. I last heard this little young rapper who I really don't like, but named Waka Flocka, 23 years old. He said the very same thing. He was heartbroken by his girlfriend when he found out he was being cheated on.
Okay.
There's an area that you ladies have to understand and respect that guys are feeling a certain way. It may not be valid to have these type of topics or titles, but guys are feeling a certain way, and the ladies need to hear them.
Okay. But isn't there a different way? I what you're saying here tonight, I'm eating it up. I'm soaking it all in because this is, I really appreciate that you called. Isn't there a different way? What my point of tonight's show is, we have to take those negative adages and those negative emotions out of our communication with the world, see, so we can start healing. I don't say I hate black men. I've been divorced twice. I'm a domestic violence champion. So I don't hate black men, even though I've been through quite a bit. There has to be another way that we can word this stuff so we take the hate and that negative feeling out, and that there's still hope that we can heal and move forward.
Okay, and then I challenge you on this as an intellectual to another intellectual. I challenge you to create a radio show, use any title that you would like, that would try to grab the mind of black women to show them how to treat their sons, as the book you've written, boyfriends and husbands better.
Okay.
You get less response out of something that has no shock value from ladies.
That's a sad fact.
Only the intellectual ladies, or what in the psychology community they call type A personalities, can adhere to this type of thing.
Yes.
When you try to do something where you just try to school ladies on how to get better, riper apples off a tree, there is this thing now, because ladies are making money easier, not more, but easier than men. Proof of this is at the height of the recession, 13% decrease for men jobs, 33% increase for ladies jobs. So when you don't have nobody who appreciates what these guys go through, and as you identify with your son in the book you wrote, then it's hard for you to convey to them, please stop shaking your butt, as you mentioned earlier. Please stop trying to hang out at night while you got this child, but you want me to be an outstanding man coming into your life. Please stop, and on and on and on. It's hard to do that with simple titles. You need something shock, and you may say some things that you may not agree with, but at least the conversation is being had. So I challenge you. I mean, please create a radio show for one day.
Well, I think here in the chat room, Passion for Parenting, she's already said, and I'm calling her to task on it because I'm going to be on that show with her. She said she's going to have a show, Teach Me How to Love You, for black men. She says, I'm doing a radio show to black men that says, Teach Me How to Love You. Now, Passion for Parenting, I put you on blast. So I want to see that show because I want to jump on that. Because I have to let you know, you're Mr. Classy, correct? I always ask black men for their advice. I'm always talking, tell me what you think about this. Tell me. I'm always looking for their guidance. I'm not out here saying I have all the answers, sir, because to be honest with you, I don't. So I'm always looking for that feedback from my black man because, like I said, I love black men. What do you think about what he's saying, Joy?
Right.
I think he's exactly right. In fact, he's making my earlier point in that one of the reasons that so many of these things are able to continue is because women are allowing them to happen, because they're embracing them, because they're accepting them. As I said, when I was a young girl, there is no way in the world. It was the worst thing you could do to a young lady was to call her out of her name.
Right, right.
And now women go, they buy the CD, they go to the club, they shake their butt to it, and they teach it to their children.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a problem with calling women bitches, and I have a problem using the word nigger. I still flinch when I do that. Those two things I don't like to do, but yet still it's flying over my head all day long, all the time.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you, I came from California. We have a totally different mindset. So how I grew up was you would actually get hurt calling somebody a nigger. Where
right.
I grew up at.
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought.
Yes,
that's what I thought.
Yes.
I thought it was a bad thing. You know, then some, you know, record exec came in and made it a mainstream word to the point that we have to put the word nigger in a coffin and bury it to show people that this has to stop. I never thought
of it. Actually,
know.
You can blame Jerry Keller from the lawyer for NWA for that.
Well, I want to thank you for being on here and giving us some insight and having this conversation with us tonight. I really appreciate it, and I do hope that you will come back on again. But I thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So, Jay, what did you think about what Mr. Classy was saying?
As I said, he made some very valid points. You know, women... definitely, well, first of all, we have the power to fix this. We have the power to change this. And we can start by changing our own behavior.
Yes.
And changing our acceptance of many of these things that are going on.
Yes.
And he said it is unfortunate that, you know, so many women, you know, we talk about the women who, you know, who have too much education and they're, you know, over-educating themselves to the point where they're out of the dating pool. You know, I heard...
Yeah, I've been told that one, Jay. That strikes a very hard core for me. I'm very sensitive
right.
to that because, you know, I've been told that, yeah, Denise, you know, with your master's and what all this other stuff you're doing, you've basically educated yourself out of the dating pool. But then if I was on welfare, they would have had something to say about that too. So I'm a little confused about that.
That's what I was about to say. Well, actually, that's really not as big of a problem, or that's not a problem. Our problem, as I said, are not the women who feel good about themselves, who love themselves, who have forgiven themselves for past mistakes, who are prepared and ready for healthy relationships, you know, both emotionally and financially. That's not our problem.
Right.
Our problem are the women who, as I said, who come from the households who have never seen a man, have
right.
no idea of what a healthy relationship looks like. As I said, most of their information about how to dress, how to behave, has come from television or from a rapper.
Right.
That's our problem. As
right.
I said, and then they're embracing it. They're embracing it. They're accepting it.
Yeah, I have a problem with the image perception that's out here today for our young people as well as for our black men and, of course, for our black women. I went to the previewing of Precious, and I sat and had a conversation with Mr. Lee Daniels, and I found out that he is from a single-parent home. He's also a gay man, and he lived in Harlem. And I told him, I said, how do you think this movie is going to put the image on black women? And he said, well, you know, I think it shows a lot of redemption, and I think, you know, at the end it shows that, you know, people can do better. And I said, but they have to, the audience was filled completely. There was only five black people in the theater. I was one of five. And all they walked away believing how well we can beat our kids, how we sit in front of the TV all day and mentally and physically verbally abuse our children. I don't know how this could be helpful.
Well, as I said, it's a very thin line between addressing a problem, and many of those problems, you know, are issues. As I said, just like the caller just said, I mean, you know, men are now raising their issue,
right.
you know, that needs to be addressed, and I'm all for that. As I said, the problem with it is in the way that it's done. And
too often,
those things are just put out there, even with that movie for me personally and the book, it was too much negative put out there and not enough solution.
Right.
There was a lot of problem, but very little solution was added to it. And as I said, and I think when we do things like that, it's somewhat irresponsible and it's reckless.
Yes, yes. And I'm sure many listeners have seen that CNN, or was it NBC, with the circle of black women talking about, you know, how they haven't had a date in 10 years and, you know, they feel like there's no good black men out there. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at them and I'm like, are you kidding me? They're black. They're good black men out there. I mean, I can't, I will not, for me, I will not embrace and promote the thought that there are no good black men out there for me. I just won't.
Absolutely. As I said, because it swings both ways. The same as it's not, it's unfair and it's unhealthy for men to walk around calling women out of their names and disrespecting them and treating them poorly, okay? It's equally as bad when women do it, and especially if they have children in that home. Because
yes.
they are the first teachers. They are the ones who teach little girls how to behave. They are the ones who teach little boys how to behave in relationships.
Yes, absolutely.
So they need to be extremely careful. And then the other problem with that is if she's attacking the children's father, that's a huge problem.
Oh, that's in my book, too. You can't attack the absentee father because 23 of his chromosomes is walking around in your son right now. So if you're telling the son that his father is no good, well, then half your kid is no good either. And that kid's going to grow up and say, well, I'm no good, too, because I'm just like my daddy, and my mommy keeps saying that I'm no good. So I'm dead set against that, too.
Absolutely. Yes. Like I said, there's no, just like the previous caller said, we really need to get to a better place. We need to get to a place where we can identify the problem, we can have intelligent discussion about it, and each one teach one.
Right, and I would like to see that.
Instead of pointing finger and blaming and that sort of thing, because, you know, we have some serious problems within our community.
Yes, we do.
Serious problems, as I said. And, you know, I work with children every day, and it is very, very unfortunate, as I said, with some of the preconceived ideas that our children have now for what's right and what's wrong.
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up, Jay. Prime example, listeners, when First Lady Michelle Obama, first couple of months out as First Lady of the United States of America, she visited a school. And a beautiful little peanut, a cute little girl, a little tiny thing, she came up to her and said, where's the president? I thought the president was going to be with you today. And Michelle says, no, he had to take another trip. He had another appointment. He couldn't be here. And the little girl looked at Michelle and said, he lives with you? He actually lives in the same house with you?
Oh my God.
It was cute at the time because she's so tiny. But that question tells us exactly what our kids are perceiving.
Absolutely.
It really does. I think we have another caller here. Let me see if this person is on with us. Hello? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? You're on the air. Area code 111.
Good evening, Denise. What's up? It's S-Dot.
Oh, hey. How are you?
You got me.
Hi, thank you. Fine.
You got me in the office at 9:30. I was supposed to be out of here at 6 o'clock.
Oh, well, I'm so glad I kept you at the office. Oh, boy. What do you have to say?
Well, I think that it's a lively discussion in terms of way of balance. I understand exactly what the sister was saying earlier about there are a lot of negative things that are in the media in terms of product, in terms of marketing, and particularly the way that a lot of companies are exploiting the anxiety and the anger between black men and black women. But one of the things that I would say or like to add is that just as brothers need to police brothers, sisters need to police sisters. Last week I had a show, and the show dealt with man abuse, which is a very real situation. You're a mother of a son. And I'm a bigger brother to lots of younger brothers, and a lot of men are being abused by women, physically and verbally abused, and ending up incarcerated.
That's
and
right.
When I brought this topic up, women laughed at it and thought it was a joke. And
no, it's no joke. It is no joke. It has, if anybody doesn't believe what Estad is saying, PBS had on a huge week-long special on mental health called This Life. And in that mental health series, they had a section on anger management. And guess who predominated that? Women.
Yeah.
Anger management is dominating with women. And women have anger issues to the point that it is a psychosis. It needs therapeutic intervention. And sometimes it causes bodily harm and incarceration. So Estad, it has a very valid situation here, yes.
Absolutely, and I think that oftentimes what happens is when some people hear men being vocal about having conflicts with women and their frustration with women, they're talking about those women that are abusive. They're talking
right.
about those women that are dysfunctional. So when you hear women who don't have that affliction, they jump into the brouhaha to defend those women rather than to say, these women are sick. These women need to be healed. They need to be delivered. And
yes. And just, just for the chat room, Estad, just so that they're clear on what you're saying, they're not clear on the man abuse. They thought it was in the home, like a stepdad type of. No, we're talking about young people, men and women dating, and the woman goes after the man and literally tries to whip his ass.
Yeah, and it's fairly common. I mean, I've visited a number of brothers who are in prison as a result of this.
Right.
You know, they finally got sick and tired of being hit and assaulted by a woman. They grew up in households where they witnessed their mothers being abused. So they had an aversion to anything to do with violence.
That's right.
And they attracted those sorts of women. It's like Chris Rock said, it's nothing worse than a woman who knows you're not going to hit her. Because then she'll be like, your mother's a bee, your mother this, your mother that, and she's all in your face, and it's crazy, and it's a challenge to your manhood. And then, you know, if you respond, it's, I'm going to incarcerate you, I'm going to put you in jail, I'm going to call my brothers, or all these other sorts of things. So she culturally and socially emasculates that man or castrates that man. And this is a common thing, and I think that women need to be more vocal about this, particularly amongst women, because, you know, when Tiger Woods got beat with his wife, she beat him with his work tool, a golf club. And, you know.
Well, wait a minute. That's a whole nother different. I don't want to bring up the Tiger situation, to be honest. I said I wouldn't. But I have to agree with you on another aspect. Here in my community, we had a young black gentleman who was attending Marist College. He was on the football team.
Mm-hmm.
And he broke up with this girl. And she got pissed off. And she went back to some guys who did not get along with him and contrived a story that said he said something that he didn't say.
Mm-hmm.
His men came back to this man's front porch and stabbed him to death in front of his mother. Based on this girl getting pissed off and getting real angry to the point that she thought it was cool to contrive a story against two men who didn't get along and sat back and watched the outcome. She is now in jail as an accessory to murder.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these things do happen. They do happen. The anger situation does happen. I tell young girls, do not listen to the hype of that rap song telling you you are a ride or die bitch. You're sitting right next to me. No, you have to act like a lady. You do not fly up in some man's face and invade his personal space with your hands or your mouth or your whatever and expect him to sit there and take it. No,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So it definitely does happen. Like I said, when I worked on the trauma team, the emergency room, we had a couple of guys that came in, and they got into an altercation, and they kind of glossed over the story. But we know it was the wife who beat them and hit them, but they didn't hit her back. And they took, you know, the broken nose where she threw something, and it clipped him in the face, you know, or the manicure scissors. Oh, yes, it definitely does happen. Absolutely. So I applaud you and commend you for doing that show because it is a phenomenon that our young people need to have education on.
Absolutely. All right. Well, you guys are having a great show, and I'm going to let you guys get back to your discussion, and I'll continue listening in the chat room.
Thank you very much for calling, and I appreciate your support and your input. Well, Jay, what did you think about that?
Well, he brought up a very interesting point. As I said, it is happening a lot, and it is unfortunate. It's another one of those cases where women think it's a double standard. You know, if a man hits a woman, then, you know, that's automatically, you know, bad. But if a woman hits a man, she feels entitled.
Right.
And it should, you know, and she's not entitled, and it should not be happening. In fact, I say to my sons, you know, if a woman puts her hands on you, have her locked up.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, the very first time she slaps you, she hits you, have her locked up. The same as she would do for you if you were to go against everything I taught you and put your hands on her.
That's right.
Because it's not, it's one of those things, it's not acceptable.
It's not acceptable. And it's in my book. I talk about this. And this is one of those topics, listeners, that I wish men would stand up and go to the schools and talk to our young people about.
Yeah.
This is one of those scenarios. And they want to gloss it over and call it dating violence. And I don't know, S. Dot, you're back in the chat room now. But, you know, they want to gloss it over and call it some very, you know, cushy media-friendly names. But I'm sure the real deal is assault, period.
Exactly. Violence is violence. It doesn't matter who's doing the hitting, whether it's men or women.
Right. So
it's the same, and it should be treated the same.
Right, and I don't uphold women who do that, and this is one of those conversations that I really and truly wish men would have with our young people, because as Mr. Classy was talking about earlier, of course there are a lot of strong, silent men out there, but I wish, I pray they would step forward and they would speak up and speak out, because I don't want to keep hearing the buffoons. I don't want to keep hearing them. Mm-hmm. I want to hear from my real black men. I want to hear from men like my father, who was the strong, silent type, but when he opened his mouth, he had something to say.
That's true.
So, you know, that's what I think is very, very important. They're having a great time here in the chat room, listeners. I can't even begin to tell you. They have been going at it all night long. And they are just having a good time. Now they're talking about the abuse thing. They went from the single parent thing. They went from the young girls thing. They've been having a good time in this chat room tonight. And I just want to thank all of the participants in the chat room. Passion for Parenting, No Single Mama Drama was here. S. Dot Files was here. Nikisha was here. Lisa Maria Carroll was here. I want to thank all of them for coming in, because we had really a very powerful chat room discussion. Jay, I don't know if you had a chance to take a peek, but it was really hot.
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Let me see. We have another caller here on the line at the 517-571. Are you there? Hello?
Denise?
Yes.
Hi, it's Deborah Mosley.
Hey, Deborah, how are you? What a lovely
show.
We love
incredible.
Deborah.
Incredible. I have been enjoying this show.
Thank you. Thank you. What a lovely surprise. Deborah, I'm so glad to hear your voice. You sound just like how you
amazing. This is exactly what I needed to hear, because it just makes me so mad.
Uh-huh.
When people think, because you're a single black woman, that there's got to be something wrong with you.
Yes.
But
yes.
You're not married yet, so... I'm very happy that you touched on the topics that I've been thinking about.
Oh, good, good. I am so glad. Well, thank you for calling.
You are very welcome. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Deborah. Love you.
Love you, too. You guys are amazing. Keep up the great work. I'm learning a lot.
Oh, good. Deborah, you've been such a wonderful support, and your personality
is indeed.
Thank
so
you.
Blessed. Thank you so much.
We'll meet soon.
Oh, great. So I'm gonna go on to another caller, but we'll talk again soon.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, we have another caller in the queue here. Let me see if I can get this person on the air. Caller, can you hear me?
from area code 111. Are you there?
Oh, I'm here, sweetie. Actually, I was just listening. I wasn't sure what the topic was.
Oh, okay. Hi, you're on the air. We're having a discussion on the exploitation of the black woman by the black man. This is Black Motherhood Empowerment. My name is Denise. I don't know how long you've been listening, but I didn't know if you have a comment or a question.
I've only been listening for probably 2 or 3 minutes.
Okay, so you missed a good crux of it then. I'm sorry. You're going to have to listen to the archive then because it's pretty good.
Now, I mean, what exactly did I miss just in a quick capsule?
In a quick capture, you missed the fact that there's been a lot of stop and shock titles that are really not putting the black woman in a black light that black men are using to sell books and magazines and movies, and Precious has come out, and we just feel that the black woman is really having a hard time navigating the society with the constant negativity from her own black man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would happen to agree with that a lot because I'm actually doing a show where I'm going to talk about the fact that a lot of dudes call women bitches. I don't know if you're cursing on your show or not. If you don't, excuse me.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'm examining the fact of why so many guys call women the B word.
Right.
Right.
Okay,
I don't quite understand that.
Please befriend me so I can post that show so people can hear about you. Okay, my name is Denise Bolds, B-O-L-D-S.
Yeah, we'll do.
Okay, thank you for calling.
All right.
Okay, we have one more caller in the queue. 845 area code. Hello? 845? Okay, they're gone. Okay, Jay, so far this show has been absolutely powerful. We have about 8 minutes left.
I know, it has been fun. It went by really fast.
It went by very quickly. So, you know, Deborah brought up a good point, too. And, you know, there's to say that there is comfort and there's a sense of peace and understanding for women who are single. There's peace and understanding for that single mom who's doing the right thing by her children. And I think we have to really support these women and not say that there's something of a deficit. Don't you agree?
That's correct. That's what I've been saying all night, in that we have to be extremely careful when we start painting everyone with the same broad brush.
Right.
I mean, it is just not that way.
Right, right.
As I said, you know, when the white community gets upset with Sarah Palin, they stick to Sarah Palin.
Right.
You know, they don't drag, you know, Meryl Streep into that. You know, they're able to isolate, you know, whomever it is that, you know, they have issue with at that particular time. As
right.
I said, but unfortunately, you know, we just keep all getting lumped together.
Right.
You know, there are definitely, you know, some really good single parents. I mean, and we have fruit of that. I mean, there are a lot of men who were raised by, you know, single parents who turned out to be wonderful men.
Right, absolutely.
So, you know, to say that, you know, they're all the same, or, you know, that none of them are no good, I mean, that is just really, really unfortunate, as I said, and it does us all as a community a disservice.
Yeah.
You know, the same as when women say that about men.
Right, and as a single mom, for as long as I've been a single mom, it has been absolutely painful to the infinity degree for me to have a black man tell me that I can't raise my son and that I'm going to raise him to be feminine and that he's not going to do well and that I'm going to fail. To be honest with you, I expect what I expect because I know what I know from the white man. But from the black man, it hurt very much because I'm doing the very best that I can. I lived a very decent life, and I empower and suggest other women to do the same. And to go back to school and get a career and show your children the power of education. This is what I've done with my life, as many other black women have done, is not to show up our black men. It is not to put them down. It is not to say that they are inferior in any way. But it's a form of empowerment with my life, and to show my son the benefits of having that higher education can do and how to give to the community. So I really strongly suggest to black men, because I am strongly working with black women, to please
turn to your black men and talk to them. Tell them, please, don't date that girl who has 4 children and she hasn't been on a date in 3 years. If you're going to date her, wear a condom. Please, don't go into her house and start hitting and taking over in the discipline of her kids. Please,
yeah.
Have some respect and stop calling our women bitches. I want the black men who are silent, as Mr. Classy talked about, I want them to step forward. I'm tired of hearing from the buffoons. I'm tired of hearing the empty rhetoric that's going on out here. I want to hear from the real guys. I want to hear from the real black men, the black men who understand the black woman. Because I'm out here doing my very best to uphold and understand the black man. I still believe in them, and I will never stop believing in the black man. So, Jay, we have about 4 minutes left. Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
No. I just wanted to say that, you know, I'm really glad that, you know, you asked me on to do the show with you. I really appreciate it. As I said, it did go by really fast.
Yeah.
You know, and if I could, you know, and if I could leave your listeners with anything, I mean, it would be that, you know, we all deserve better, and we can definitely do better.
Yeah.
As I said, because right now, I mean, it's unhealthy for the men, for the women, and for the children and our community, you know, for us to continue with this behavior.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And
it's certainly not beneficial.
It's not beneficial. It hurts. It tears us down. And it doesn't unify us when you're saying all these negative things and you turn around and say, well, why aren't you doing any better? Or, you know, how come your son isn't doing any better? Instead of saying, you know, oh, you know, there has to be some man in the house to teach him how to be a man, let's teach him how to be a human being. A human being doesn't encourage violence. They don't do drugs. They don't do promiscuity. There's a lot of things that we can teach and have a different model, a model of empowerment that could absolutely help our people, and that's what I would like to see. I really am very hurt when men put out things like this. Because, like I said, I love black men. And, you know, my father taught me how to love black men, but my son taught me what it is to be a black man, to grow up in this society and at first be cute, and once you're going through puberty, you're a threat. My son taught me more about black men than my father did because I had to live my son's life, and I have a better respect and appreciation for black men watching my son grow up and navigate society and still do well, even though society told him he would fail. So I think that's very, very important that we encourage our black men and we encourage our black women. I'm tired of seeing the prisons being built up around in my community. Okay?
You know, if I could, Denise, I would like to make this other point. The guy who was on a moment ago reminded me of this. Another issue that's going on with women is we have more women going to jail now than ever before.
Yes.
And that is something that we definitely, I mean, not in this show, but of course, that's something that we definitely need to also address.
Oh, as yes, said, that'll be another show.
Because we have children who are paying the price for that as well. But yes, go ahead.
Oh, yes, I do agree. We do have more women being incarcerated now, and that is also destroying our families. But for the men out there who are preaching, who are preachers and reverends and deacons and elders and want to pontificate from a very patriarchal black church, please understand your church is only successful because of the women who backed you up, okay? And we have to start empowering and engaging our black women because they do contribute. And we're not invisible, not by any means, not at all. So this has been a wonderful show. I hope everyone has had a chance to take. I hope everyone's had something to take away. My name is Denise Bold. You're here on Black Motherhood Empowerment. I can be reached here on Blog Talk Radio. I also have a webpage of www.boldlioness.com. I am the author of Raising Princess to Be Kings, A Single Black Mother's Guide to Raising Her Black Son. And by the way, that book did win the Best Self-Published Aspercom Award for 2010 just this past weekend, so I'm very proud of it. My mission is to empower women, And once again, I can be reached at bulgeuniversity@yahoo.com. Jay, thank you so much for being a partner on my show. I couldn't have done it without you.
Thank you, Denise. It was wonderful. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yes. And please, everyone, go to Facebook where you can find me, Denise Bowles. You can find Raising Princess to Be Kings. And you can find the Victorious Book Club with Jay George, and they are doing some powerful things on that book club. It is phenomenal. I'm having a great time with them. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, chat room. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio family, Facebook family. It has been phenomenal. I've had such a wonderful time here tonight. Thank you so much, and look forward to our other shows. My next show is coming up. It's Education in the African-American Male, Why It Is Killing. And I have another show coming up on HIV and heterosexual women, why the numbers are rising. Please look forward to those shows. Thank you so much and good night.